Now let's get our hearts ready to hear just a very powerful word from Pastor Dave. Hey guys, today I want us to take a break from our series in the book of Colossians, and I just want to share with you a special message. I've been thinking the last few months about this season of our lives and asking myself, asking some close friends, people I come in contact with, why does this time feel so difficult? Why does it feel so bad? I mean, most of us haven't been greatly sick. We've not had experienced terrible illness. Most of us haven't lost a loved one. Most of us, our incomes haven't been greatly affected. Yet person after person I talk to just talks about this overwhelming sense of what a difficult season this is, and kind of people report kind of a low-grade depression, an increase in anger, and also feelings of anxiety. Next week, we're going to kick off a new series talking about the peace of God in this season. I'm super excited about it. And so I asked myself, why does this season feel so difficult for so many of us? I understand it if you've been incredibly sick. I understand it if your income's been affected, you've lost a loved one, if you feel like you're at a very increased risk. But why does it feel so very difficult for the rest of us? And I think I have what I believe is the beginnings of an answer. I believe the Lord's led me to some wisdom here. And here's what I believe. I believe the most difficult part of this season, and potentially the silver lining of this season, is that coronavirus is threatening our idols. Coronavirus makes a direct offensive attack at our idols. Now, I'm not talking about bowing down to some sort of statue or anything like that, or things you might imagine people do around the world or in times past. But when I talk about an idol, really I'm talking about anything in our life that comes before God. Really, I'm talking about anything in our life which is our source of ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment other than God. Paul David Tripp said it this way. He said, could it be that our desire for a good thing has become a bad thing because that desire has become a ruling thing? So here's the idea. So many of these things in our life that become idols really are good things. They're many times gifts from God. Many times they're just part of life. Many times I might even be part of what makes us maybe a strength in some ways or a personality trait in some ways. But when these things become things that they become ultimate things, they become that thing I'm looking for satisfaction in, they become something I've elevated above God, at that point it becomes an idol. And I think that what coronavirus might be doing in some of our lives, definitely in my life, is revealing some of these idols in my life that God wants to deal with, and they're being dealt with and exposed by this season that we're in. Billy Graham's grandson, Tully Tavichian, said it this way. He says, your pain could be God prying open your life and heart to remove a gift of his that you've been holding on to more dearly than him. So I want to talk to you about just some of the things in our hearts, these root idols that I believe that coronavirus threatens, and that's why this season feels so incredibly difficult for all of us. Yet at the same time, it could be a season where God wants to do heart surgery in all of our lives. Let me share with you some of these common idols that I believe coronavirus is challenging. One is coronavirus at its very root. This whole season challenges the idol of control. So many of us, and I'm one of these, want to be able to have a clear plan for the future, want to know what life's going to look like in the weeks and months to come. And what coronavirus has done is it's revealed I'm not in control, you're not in control, the government's not in control, the doctors aren't in control. It's revealed that we are completely out of control. It's such an unpredictable time. And so for those of us that like to maintain this feeling of control, coronavirus is revealing that in us as it comes against that. Coronavirus also is revealing this idol of safety and security. And so much of Americans, we love the feeling of safety and security. Many people move to the suburbs because of those things that are associated with that. Let's move to a safer neighborhood. Let's move to a gated community. Let's move to a gated community where there's actually a live person there. It's all about this idea of I want to be safe and I want to be secure. And here's the thing. This coronavirus time, with all of the messages of fear and all of the data about how fast the virus is going and how many people are dying and message of fear after message of fear, it threatens this idol that many times we can hold on to tightly, this idol of safety and security. Now, listen to me clearly. I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise. We should for sure be wise. And being foolish is not a spiritual gift. And I fully understand those that of increased risk taking great precaution. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise and shouldn't take precautions, but here's the deal. Christians should be the most courageous people on the planet. And Jesus has freed us to live lives of holy risk. Here's what John Piper said. By removing eternal risk, Christ calls his people to continual temporal risk. Here's what he's saying. He says, for the followers of Jesus, our final risk is gone. Romans 8:1. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Later in Romans 8, he says, death will never separate us. What shall separate us from the love of God? He says, death's not going to separate us from the love of God. And so because the final and eternal and greatest risk is gone, it frees us as followers of Jesus to live lives of courage and risk. And what this season, I believe this season, it's a time for us to say goodbye in some ways to the world we used to know and its illusion of safety and security. Every story in the Bible, every Bible hero, story after story after story, it's God inviting someone to take a risk with him. John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard Movement, said, how do you spell faith? And then he said, you spell it R-I-S-K. All through the Bible, we see this. God calls Abram and says, I'm going to take you to a place that I'm going to show you later. Yeah, and God invites Moses to declare war and rebellion against the most powerful king and the most powerful nation on the planet in that time. Joshua and Caleb go and scout out the land. Everyone else is scared because of how frightening the people were there, but they weren't scared. They followed God into the moment of risk. God calls Gideon to fight a huge army with a tiny one. We see David coming against the giant Goliath. We see Esther saving her own people at great risk to her own life. We see Daniel. He said, I'm going to continue to pray, even though you're telling me not to, even up to the point of being thrown in the lion's den. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we won't bow down to the false god, even though they ended up in the fiery furnace. Jesus promised us some risk. Matthew 10, Jesus says it this way. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I don't know about you, but that sounds like Jesus is promising some risk. He says, therefore be as shrewd as snakes. He's saying, hey, be wise and as innocent as doves, be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. Sounds like risk. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And we see in John 16, Jesus said, hey, in this world, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some risk. But he says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, 5 times I received from the Jews, the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers and bandits and fellow Jews and Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city and in the country. And it sounds like Paul had some risk. Here it is. To read the Bible and come out of it with the idea that the life of a follower of Jesus is supposed to be a risk-free life of safety or security takes a greater imagination than that of George Lucas and J.K. Rowling and Walt Disney combined. It takes, you'd have to look at the Bible with the greatest possible imagination and think, oh, the life of a follower of Jesus, it's about a risk-free life of safety and security. It's not at all what we've been promised. And so this coronavirus moment where there's so much fear, saying, are you going to get sick? Are you going to die? Are you going to lose a loved one? It totally comes against that idol, the idol of success or approval. Maybe you had some great goals as to what your business was going to accomplish this year. And all of that now, there's a giant question mark. Your business might be threatened. Things that you do at work or in other places where you succeed and you thrive and people cheer you on and your boss celebrates the great job you're doing, that feeling of approval you get, maybe you've lost that. Maybe working from home has you feeling less productive. And so maybe that's where you, that success thing, that approval from others thing is where you've gotten such a sense of your identity. And what coronavirus is doing is it's challenging that. And so because of that, you're just kind of lost. You're not meeting those benchmarks you've always met. You're not climbing up that corporate ladder the way you always have. And so you find yourself a little bit lost. Coronavirus is coming against that idol. Maybe it's the idol of family. Maybe what coronavirus has done is it's exposed. But obviously we should love our families. But we can cross over and take that incredible gift from God that's a good thing, and then we make it an ultimate thing, the source of all of our satisfaction and our identity. In doing so, we raise it above God. And in doing so, that good thing actually becomes a bad thing, becomes an idol. And maybe when you spend an inordinate amount of time stressing about, are my kids going to get this? What if I lose a loved one? And obviously, I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that to happen to you. But that was, so what coronavirus can do is it can reveal these things in our life that maybe have been elevated to too great of a role in our life. There's also the idol of freedom and comfort and convenience. Maybe you had a wedding that had to be moved this year. Maybe you had a trip that was planned. The reality is we don't have the normal freedoms and comforts and conveniences we're used to. I mean, Walmart closes at 8 o'clock. I mean, I don't even like going to Walmart, but sometimes I have to go, and it'll be 8 o'clock, and I was like, oh, Walmart's closed. I've got to drive all the way to Target. I mean, it's inconvenient. It's hard moments. But we can't go to a concert if you want to. Dillard's closes at 7. Our comfort, our convenience, and our freedoms have been hindered. And so when our idols are threatened, really we have two choices. We can respond in one of two ways. Our natural instinct left to ourselves when our idols are threatened is to cling to them. And that will be marked by unhealthy responses. See, if you have an idol of control, your unhealthy response might be to go into hyper-control mode, where now you want to control everybody around you. Maybe you've been spending more time with your family, and you just find yourself wanting to control every action they make and correct every little thing they do. You've gone into hyper-control mode of people or of situations. Maybe you sit around and you're obsessing about the future. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I find myself saying, man, I had one idea of what Life Church was going to look like in 2020 and in 2021 and in 2022. And now I find myself saying, what's it going to look like? I can shift into a mode of trying to exert too much control. Maybe you spend a lot of time just obsessing about contingency plans. And not that we shouldn't think like that, but if you spend too much time in that, it might be an unhealthy response to this idol of control where you need to feel in control. Idols of safety and security. It might look like just feelings of lots of fear. It might look like you just consume far too much news, far too much coronavirus news. It might look like this. It might look like fully putting life on hold until it is, quote, safe. And in doing so, you're wasting this season. It might be that you're fully isolating yourself socially. Listen, social distancing can be necessary, but social isolation will destroy you. And it might be that you're fully putting life on hold and fully isolating yourself socially. And I want to challenge you, no matter what your situation is, do not allow this season to isolate you socially. I think many of us are in a situation where we can begin to engage people in live gatherings, both live church and then also live life groups. But for those of us that aren't quite ready, or maybe you're at increased risk and it's going to be a while, I want to really challenge you to engage digitally. Not just engaging the service content, but to engage a group digitally. All of our groups and studies are in sign-up mode right now. Those are going to all officially start beginning next week, September 13th. We've got a bunch of live groups, got a bunch of digital groups. We've got groups that are actually happening, classes that are happening live, but that you can also participate in via Zoom. I'm going to be leading a really cool one with some fascinating discussions about current events. Going to be going on for 5 weeks. And you can sign up as you text LC Groups to 970-00. Don't allow this idol of safety and security to cause you to isolate socially. Here's what Helen Keller said about security. Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. I want to challenge you. The goal of the Christian life is not simply to stay alive. That is not the goal of the Christian life. And if you make that the number one goal of your life, you won't really live. That's what Jesus says. He says, whoever tries to hold on to his life won't really live. But when we give him our life, when we hold our life loosely, that's when we really, really live. If your idol is success or approval, it might be marked by feeling worthless because you can't achieve at the level that you expected. Or maybe you're just working twice as hard, trying to guarantee that you can be successful because you find your identity there. And so as that idol is threatened by this season, if you cling to it, it could take you to some dark places. When we make our families an idol, you might find yourself spending lots and lots of time worrying about them. You might find yourself taking extreme measures to protect them. Listen to me. If you're putting so much hand sanitizer on your kids' hands that their hands are getting chapped, you might be taking that too far. See, what can happen is if our families are idle, we might go to some extreme measures. Listen, I hear of stories of people not bringing their kids to church out of an abundance of caution to protect them. And I want to say this, unless someone in your household has an extreme risk, is immunocompromised, I want you to hear me clearly. Your children are in far greater risk at the prospect of not going to church for a year than they are of coronavirus. Again, if you have someone in your household, your child, or someone then close exposure that's at extreme risk, I'm not talking to you, but for most of us that can get into hyper-protective mode for our kids, the idea of your kids not going to Sunday school, kids' church, for a year is the greater risk. Here's another sign that maybe we're clinging to our idols. When we make our freedom, our comfort, and our convenience an idol, it might look like we might resist or get angry when we're asked to sacrifice the sense of freedom, the sense of comfort or convenience for the sake of another. Maybe you find yourself everywhere you go that you're asked to wear a mask, you get mad about it. And listen, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know if masks are really helpful or a little bit helpful or not helpful at all. But I do know that sometimes wearing a mask causes other people to feel loved. And because of that, I'm willing to wear a mask sometimes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says it this way. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Jesus has set us free. He set us free from the law of sin and death. He set us free from living lives wondering what's going to happen after we die. He set us free from hell. All of those things. He says, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. He says, Jesus didn't set you free for just for you, so you could go around talking about your freedom. He says, rather, he sets you free to do this, to serve one another humbly in love. Humble, what it means to be humble is to say, I don't really know if masks work. But if you, the person that I love, who feels threatened, will feel more loved if I'm with you wearing a mask, then I will wear a mask. I'll lay aside that freedom. He says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. See, this when my comfort and my convenience and my freedom become an idol, I will let an inconvenience keep me from fulfilling my purpose in life. See, I've heard from a number of pastors around the nation, and as many churches around the nation are able to gather with absolutely no restrictions, no capacity requirements or anything like that, what many churches are seeing is lots and lots of people want to come back to church. But when it comes to serving, specifically in children's ministry and on greeting teams, but in other areas as well, when it comes to serving, people say, you know what, I'm ready to come back, but I'm not ready to serve. And then asked why, they say, well, hey, at church, maybe the church that we're at, no one's wearing masks in service. I encourage you to check out our new policies on that at lifechurchreno.com. Have lots of options depending on your area of need. But people say, you know what, I can go to service, and once I'm seated, I can take off my mask, but if I'm going to volunteer, I have to always wear a mask. And so here's what that's saying. It's saying I will not allow the level of inconvenience that's required to go to Costco, where I have to wear a mask. I will allow that to keep me from making kingdom impact. From, as Ephesians 2:10 says, that God has prepared these good deeds in advance for us to do. And so when my freedom and my convenience and my comfort become an idol, I'll say, you know what, I'm going to throw away mission and impact and eternal destiny of many, many people simply because I don't want to be inconvenienced. See, let me show you Acts chapter 5. It says, it's early church, the apostles have been preaching. It says, they called the apostles in and had them beaten. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And then the apostles left the Sanhedrin. Get this. Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So these guys are beaten within an inch of their lives for preaching the gospel. Their response was to rejoice that they got, that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the gospel, and then they just kept preaching. And here's the thing. For most of us, all of our lives, serving Jesus has cost us very little. And there's been no chance of suffering and very little chance of inconvenience. And this is a season. I want to invite you into this rare occasion to even suffer inconvenience for the sake of the gospel. And so as we take our next steps into reopening, we need more people serving than ever. I want to challenge you. You can text LCSERVE to 970-00. So when my idols are threatened, when my idols are challenged, I got two choices. One is I can cling to them, which will bring out the absolute worst in me, or I can lay down my idols and place God in first place. We see in Ezekiel chapter 14, it says, then some of the leaders of Israel visited me, and while they were sitting with me, this message came to me from the Lord. So the prophet says this. God says this to the prophet. Son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They've embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I listen to their prayers? And then he says this. He says, therefore, God says this to the prophet. Therefore, tell the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent. Which just simply means turn away from your sin, turn away from your idols, and turn to God. Repent and turn from your idols and stop all your detestable sins. And so we have that when our idols are threatened as they are in this season, as our idols are challenged. It makes things incredibly difficult, especially if we just want to cling on to them. Brings out the worst in us. But really what it is it's an invitation. The magic of this moment, the silver lining, the divine gift of this moment is God is inviting us to say, you know what, I'm going to turn from my idols. I'm not going to cling to them. I'm going to turn to God and cling to Him, recognizing that I'm not in control. He's in control. Realizing that my safety and security isn't based on what diseases are around me, what the government does, what doctors do. My safety and security are in Him. And that my value isn't found in my success at work or me getting that bonus or climbing this ladder or what, or my approval's not found in the opinion of my boss or anybody else. But that my value is found in Him. Recognizing that He loves my family more than I ever, ever could, and He cares for them better. And recognizing that He endured great suffering on my behalf so that I might be truly free, free of sin and death and hell and living for myself. And that in doing so, and Him suffering on my behalf, that I might have eternal comfort. And here's what I want you to get. Last thing, and we're done. In this season, we must always recognize that there is always more at stake spiritually than there is physically. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said this. He said, don't be afraid of those who could kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. And now here's what Jesus is simply saying, that the stakes are higher spiritually than they are physically. So here's my question for you. What idols in this season of your life, in this season of history, what idols is God using this time to expose and to challenge and to deal with? Maybe it's control. Maybe it's safety and security. Maybe it's success or the approval of others. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's freedom, comfort, or convenience. Maybe it's all of those. Maybe it's even something else. Let's just take a minute and pray. So all of us every day are left with a decision to make. Am I going to cling to my idols, which will bring out the absolute worst in me? It'll lead to me being angry and unpleasant to be around and worrying, trying to control everybody and everything, living in fear. Or am I going to lay them down, turn away from them, and turn to God? And maybe there's one, two, three, or more of these that you just in the quietness of your heart just needs to confess to God. Just say, God, I recognize that sometimes I place my need for control above You, my need for safety, my perceived need for the illusion of safety and security. I place it above You. I find my fulfillment there, not in You. Or success, or approval, comfort, or convenience, whatever it is. And just say, God, I don't want to keep doing that. God, would You empower me by Your Holy Spirit to turn from that and to turn from You, finding my ultimate worth, value, and fulfillment in You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, before we wrap up today, I just want to take a brief moment just to fill you in on a couple of things that's happening here around Life Church. The first thing is, starting next week, our kind of fall semester of our life groups are going to be kicking off. They're going to be ramping up. And so we're going to have both physical groups that are meeting together and groups that are meeting digitally through Zoom or online. And so if you have any interest in being a part of a small group, a chance to get with other people in a smaller group and just kind of have some open discussion on some different topics and classes and whatnot, text LC Groups to 97000, because those are going to be starting here over the next week or two. So I want to challenge you to be sure to sign up for a group, either online or physical. Also, just want to make you aware that starting next Sunday on the 13th, we're going to be kicking off our Life Track classes. Now, this is just a series of four classes. It's a chance for you to kind of get to know Life Church a little bit, ask any questions, find out our history, our background, what we believe, how we're structured, all those kinds of things. It's going to be following our second service at our South Campus, and lunch is going to be provided. So if you have any interest in joining that, you can also go to the church website, sign up that way, or text LC101 to 97000, and we'll be sure to get you signed up for that class. And then finally, Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, we're going to be kind of shifting our live services to Sunday mornings again. And so if you're in the Reno area, I just want to encourage you, check out one of our live services at our Midtown campus. That'll be at 10 a.m. And then at our South campus, those service times will be at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And I can tell you this, we do need your help, as Pastor Dave mentioned. We do need some help with volunteers. We need some help with children's workers. We need some help with some of our ushers and greeters and welcome teams and really all of our teams. We just need some help as we kind of shift back to doing Sunday morning services. And as Pastor Dave challenged us, here's a chance for us to kind of lay aside our idols, lay aside our conveniences for the reason and for the purpose of serving and loving others. If you have any interest in joining one of our teams, just text LCSERVE to 97000, or you can just shoot us an email, info@lifechurchreno.com, and we'll get you in contact with one of those team leads. Once again, thanks so much for being with us. I pray that you have an awesome week, and we'll see you next time.